Have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 12 verses. 2 Timothy 1, 1 to 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You notice several times Paul refers to the Lord as Christ Jesus, but then he refers to him as Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is generally talking about Jesus in eternity. But when he refers to Jesus Christ, he's talking about Jesus who bought our salvation through his becoming a man and dwelling among us. Let's kneel for prayer.
Good morning. I too greet each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title this morning is Why God, Why? Why God, Why? Perhaps the most asked question in a believer's life. Why God, why? Down through the ages, as we struggle to understand God's will, as we struggle to understand the events that God permits in our lives, we ask God why. It's a question I've asked many times, and in the last number of weeks I've struggled with it more. I thought about a number of years ago, I had a cousin. His wife had just had a new baby, and within weeks of her having the baby, she died, leaving him to struggle on with four young children, the newborn. And they were a family that was doing it all right. When our granddaughter Ann was born, I struggled with why, God, why, with the troubles she had. There were a number of other children this congregation born at the same time. And when they were all healthy and running around, I asked God why. Recently, I rejoiced that the prisoners in Haiti were released. But at the same time, I was burdened with the thought, how many other believers worldwide are imprisoned for their faith? Why were these released, and perhaps thousands across the globe suffer on? A comment of Brother Glenn made recently about two of his brothers-in-law in the hospital with COVID. One survived and one died. Why? Perhaps you struggle with it. wayward children. You've done all you could to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and yet they turn their backs and walk away. Perhaps it's the death of a loved one, especially out of what time? Death of a loved one young. Perhaps suffering of innocence. Tears your heart out. Go to the Hershey Children's Hospital and look around. See if you don't ask God why. Why, God, why? There are big, broader questions that everyone asks. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do innocent people suffer? Why does God seem so distant? Why is there evil in the world? Why do God's people struggle so? Why doesn't God give us everything we need? Or desire, perhaps, is a better word. Why, God, why? I was told many years ago that I was wrong in asking why to God. And from my study in Scripture, I don't believe it is wrong for us to ask God why. I don't believe it's wrong to share with God our struggles. I don't believe it's wrong to share with God our desires to understand His will and His way. I don't believe it's wrong to share with God our fears, our worries, and our concerns. In fact, in Scripture's recorded many great men of faith that asked God why. Moses, a great man of faith, listed in Hebrews 11. He chose God rather than the people of Egypt. He chose to be accounted with God's people rather than the treasures of Egypt. A great man of faith, yet he asked God why. Turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. You remember the account here. The people were complaining. They complained to Moses that they didn't have meat to eat. They weren't satisfied with the manna that God gave them. And they wished to return back to Egypt, where they had fish and cucumbers and melons and leeks. And Moses was fed up. He had had enough. And he asked God why. In Numbers 11, verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore? That means why. Why hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore, why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people on me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And I'm not able to bear all these people alone. It is too heavy for me. Have you ever asked God that about your life? It's too much for me to bear. Why do you lay it on me, God? Why have you given me this path to walk? It's too much. What about David, a great man of faith, man after God's own heart? He asked, was asked why many, many times. Perhaps the most well-known of his questions for God is in Psalm chapter 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Did you ever ask God that? Why are you so distant, God? Don't you care? Why don't you help me? Why, God, why? Turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Here again is another account of that great man of valor and courage, Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. You know the account here also very well. The Israelites had sinned and they'd been given over by God into the hands of the Midianites. For 7 years, they were in the Midianites' hands. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abezerite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Why, God, why? If you love us, where are you? If we are your people, why do we struggle so? What about Jeremiah, the great prophet who heard God? It was appointed to him to speak God's word to the people. He asked in Jeremiah 12, 1 to 2, why the wicked prosper. Did you ever ask that? You're trying to do everything right. You're trying to live by God's word. And yet it seems like the wicked prosper. You see, the question of why, God, why, is throughout Scripture. Perhaps every believer has uttered it at one time and another. It was asked down through the ages. But the question for us today is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with the question of why, God, why? We'd like to look here in the first couple verses of 2 Timothy to try to get some guidance to the answer of why, God, why. 2 Timothy is my favorite book in the Bible because it's a cry of victory. Paul was in a Roman prison, you know that. You can go to Rome and visit it today. The Mamertine prison. It was a hole in the ground. All his food and water had to be lowered down through a hole in the ceiling. He was awaiting death. He knew death was coming. It was a prison for prisoners that were expected to be executed. And yet there's no questions. There's no more whys. It's just a cry of victory. Just one long cry of victory. How can we have that in our lives? In the times of difficulty, how can we have that victory? Let's look at a few verses here. I've taken the first 12 verses and pulled out a few words to help us as we struggle with the question of why, God, why. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Victory over why is believe in the promise of life. the promise of life. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he is the life. Believe in it. The thief cometh but to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus says he is coming that you might have life and life more abundantly. When we're facing the whys of life, it's hard to believe that we have the abundant life, but we do. Believe the promise of the abundant life. Believe his promises. You can have the fullness of joy, the fullness of peace, the fullness of rest, despite the questions and the circumstances of life. You can have it, and it's found in Jesus Christ and his promise of life. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Victory over the whys of life can be found in the grace of God, can be found in the mercy of God, and can be found in the peace of God. Verse 3, and I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in pure conscience, that without ceasing I have made remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Victory over the whys of life can be found in prayer. Can be found in prayer, spending time with God night and day. Don't let the whys of life drive you from God. Let it drive you to him. It's been already mentioned this morning how Brother Alex, his prayer life has gained. And most of you here could testify to that, how sickness and pain and the whys of life drive you to God. Victory over the whys of life, verses 4 and 5. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Victories over the whys of life can be found in remembering. Remembering how faithful God has been to you in the past. There's great value in that. Remembering the faithfulness of God. Remember the faithfulness of God as it's described in Scripture. That's why we're given the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, that we may review the faithfulness of God. Remember how faithful God has been to you in the past. Victory over the whys of life. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up. That means to blow fresh fire. Blow oxygen on a fire and stir it up. When you're struggling with whys, you need to stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Cause it to burn brightly in your life. Read your Bible more. Spend more time in prayer, meditation. Time in fellowship with God. Stir up your life with God. Run to him. Victory over the whys of life. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Realize that fear is not of God. If you're in that hard place in your life today and you're afraid, it's not from God. Being timid, being afraid, a feeling of helplessness, all that is not of God. What is of God is power. Power to love, Power to be bold. Power to be courageous. What is of God is love. Loving others. Loving God. It's your motivation. What is of God is a sound mind. That word sound mind means calm, self-centered. I mean self-controlled. Calm, self-controlled. It means of having understanding and wisdom. You know, much of the troubles we have with the question why happens in our minds. God, it says here, gives us a sound mind, not subject to imaginations. Victory over the whys of life, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. His prisoner there is a word I pulled out. Remember, we're prisoners of Jesus Christ, prisoners of God. Paul was not a prisoner of Rome, even though he was in the Roman jail. He didn't consider himself a prisoner of Rome. He didn't consider himself a prisoner of Nero. He didn't consider himself a prisoner of the events of his life, but he considered himself a prisoner of God, a servant of God, a slave of God. He knew that the events and the trials of life were of God, and he was there to serve him. You know, we just completed the book of Acts, and at least the half, the ending half, the last half of the book of Acts, in my mind, it's one theme. It was to get Paul to Rome. That's what it was all about. Appearing before Felix and Festus and all that was to get Paul in Rome. All those trials were meant to get Paul into Rome. Can you look at your life that way in the whys of life? To try to look ahead, it's hard to see. I know it looks easier looking back, but to look ahead, knowing that God has a purpose. You know, I still struggle with Alaska and the mission we tried to establish there. I still lay in bed at night and wonder why it never went anywhere. All the late night meetings we had, all the trials and disagreements we had amongst ourselves. But then I was told, and I often think of it, by one brother who visited to Alaska. And there was a lady he shared the gospel with in an Alaskan grocery store. I thought, was that what it was all about? Would God do that? Would God put us through all those trials and meetings to have the gospel shared with one lady in one Alaskan grocery store? I believe he would. I believe he would. Remember, you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, a prisoner of God. Victory over the whys of life, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here I see that we're called to serve him. We're called with a purpose. And the hardest part of why is saying, O God, thy will be done, and not my own. It's the hardest part of why. We're called to serve him. We're called with a purpose. Victory over the whys of life, verse 10. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The good news is the gospel. Death and pain and hell and evil, it's all defeated. And the gospel tells us that. The gospel shines that we need not fear tomorrow. The gospel of Jesus Christ has taken all fear out of the unknown because we know how it all ends. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We have a job to do. Paul knew he had a job to do, and we should understand that also. We have a job to do. Victory over wise of life. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Here is the answer for surviving the wise of life. It's knowing God and trusting in God. You know, David, Moses, and all those men mostly were never answered the question of why. They were never answered their question of why. In Numbers 11, God doesn't answer Moses, but he does say, I will send you help. In Judges 6, God doesn't answer Gideon, but he says, I will be with you. Perhaps the most well-known of the Bible characters that asked why was Job. Everything in life was taken from him. He asked God why. For 36 chapters, he asked why. And Job never got an answer. But in chapters 38 and 39 and 40 and 41, God says to Job, because I am God. It's the only answer Job got. It's the only answer Moses got. It's the only answer Gideon got. It's because God is God. Is it enough for you in the wise of life to know that God is God? It was enough for Job. Is it enough for you to put your faith and trust in God? That's why Paul says here, I know whom I have believed. He knew that God was God. The great I am. What made me think, I was had this sermon on my mind for a number of months. But take your green hymn books. Quickly, I want to point something out to you. A number of Sundays ago, while this topic was on my mind, we sang two hymns that address the question of why, God, why? Turn to hymn number 118. I know it's a favorite of many. It's a favorite of mine. And I'm not saying it's not true. But as the hymn writer here addresses the question of why, look what he says in the chorus. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Is that true? Farther along, we'll understand why. We'll understand it all by and by. I don't know that we will. I can't find a place in Scripture that tells us that we'll understand the mind of God. Yes, in heaven we'll know things more clearly. That's in Scripture. And some of the questions may not be answered for us in this life, and some of the questions of why may not be answered in eternity. Because our mind will never be like God's mind. But that same Sunday, I'm trying to get the hymn number, we sang hymn number 52. Look at verse 3 of hymn number 52. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed. That's a question of why. Know whom you have believed and be persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, this is a much stronger hymn. Is it enough for you, as you face the whys in your life, to know that God is God? I didn't ask permission to tell this short story, but I'm going to. You know, when the captives were in Haiti, Brother Merle's funeral was shortly after that started. And I saw Brother Donald Clapper at the funeral. And he clearly was struggling. Children and grandchildren in captivity. It was about 2 weeks later, Martha and I were visiting in another congregation, and Brother Donald was there. His countenance had changed. And I asked him why. His family was still in bondage in Haiti. And I asked him why. And he said, Brian, he said, I've just turned it over to God. It was an encouragement to me, and I tell you that to be an encouragement to you. Yes, he still struggled. Yes, he still prayed. Yes, he still was worried at times. But he had a peace and a comfort and assurance in his God. He was able to face the why of life because he knew the one that he believed in and was persuaded that he is able. In the whys of life, is it enough to you, for you, to know that God is God? May God bless you.
Would all those who are able please kneel together in prayer?